Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Have you ever received an invitation to spend some time with someone that you really wanted to have an opportunity to talk to them and be with them? Maybe to meet at their house, or to come to your house, or to meet at some other location. You know that feeling, that anticipation, that expectation? Well, Jesus desired to spend some time with his disciples at an event that we often call the Last Supper. It's been depicted in art and dramatized, but really for the depth of it, we have to just plunge into the scriptures. And we're going to do that in Luke chapter 22 today. We're going to go back to that time where Jesus wanted to invite his disciples to come to the table. And we're also going to find out, and this is where it hits with us, that he wants to invite you and me to come to his table. Let's look at this passage. It's found in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table." So at this time, he had the 12 with him. He obviously knew that Judas was Judas and all that was going to unfold. But he desired to be with him. I want to think with you today about this passage, this time, and this emotion of the Lord Jesus. And as we come in just a little bit, as we've already said, as we come to the table, as we come and partake of some of the fruit of the vine and a little piece of bread, unleavened bread, that we would remember. Jesus wants us to remember, and he wants us to come to the table. So just think with me, if you will. And I just want to share three things that we can learn about our Lord and our position before him. Number one, he desires to be with his own. He desires to be with you. Did you see what he said? This is a fascinating phrase that you find in verse 15. He said, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." He says, "I have this great desire, and it's what I've been desiring." It's sort of like desire upon desire. He says, "From the depths of my heart, of all the people, I want to be with you." And you think about it. Now, these are the 12. He also had family in town, because we know the next day at the crucifixion scene, his mother is there, and we would assume, and it's our assumption because we don't hear of Joseph after Jesus reaches the age of 12, so we assume Mary has been left a widow. We know that Jesus had other brothers and sisters, full brothers, full children of Mary and Joseph. Of course, Mary Jesus was conceived of Mary as a virgin. But so we assume that there's other family members in town, maybe other extended family members in town. But he says, "Of all the people, I want to be with you. Of all the people that you might expect, I want to be with you." You ever thought about this? He says the same thing to you and I. Of all the quote-unquote important people in the world, of all the influential people, all the influencers of the world, he says, "I want to be with you." And he says, "Come to my table." That's why what we do when we come around to this time of communion is so special. Because Jesus is saying once again, we're reflecting once again, we're participating once again in the reality that he wants us to be at his table. He wants us to be with himself. Why? Because we are really family. Because we are the blood-bought brothers and sisters in Christ that we've come into his family. We are called his children. Someday we are going to take up residence in the Father's house. Sometimes we forget who we are. Sometimes we believe the voices of those that are out there saying that we are this or what we're not. Sometimes we have these inner voices from our past or our hurts or what we've been led to believe by others. But in reality, if you want to define who we are, in biblical terms, in eternal terms, in God-declared terms, we are his children and we are family. How do you know that? He wants you to come to the table, just like he wanted these 12 to come to his table. And come to his table today and celebrate and enjoy and just just absolutely surround yourself with the reality that God loves you and you are vitally and eternally and completely connected to Him. Also, we could think about this term of desire. It says in the text, I didn't read all of it just a moment ago. He said to them, 15, with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He knew full well what was coming next. If anyone had any reason to be distracted, it was the Lord Jesus at this particular moment in life. He was facing rejection. He was facing abuse. He was facing humiliation, pain, torment, death. And then you add to that and overlay that. Part of his suffering was just not physical. It wasn't just the experience of being nailed on a cross. But in essence, it is becoming the sin bearer for the sins of the whole world. All of my sins heaped on him. All of yours and all of ours heaped on him. The reality is Jesus suffered when he became sin for us. But notice he desires, in spite of what might have been distracting, he desires. It's not that he tolerates, it's not that he puts up with, not that he has to do it, but he honors us. You are honored to come to his table. You may have received somewhere in the past an invitation to an event that you considered special, maybe a wedding invitation or maybe a special social event. But you know what? He honors you by inviting you to his table. He desires to be with you. Secondly, he did everything, absolutely everything, to save us from our sin, to save us from eternal condemnation, and to make us fit to be his children, and to promise us eternity in heaven with he and his heavenly Father, and gathered together with all the believers of all ages. What a great reality that is, that he's done all to save. How do we see that? Well, look in the text again. Then he took the cup and said, take this and divide it among you. And then later he says in 19, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He talks about his body. His body is given. He becomes, in essence, as John described, he becomes the sacrificial lamb. Remember when John first identified him to John the Baptist disciples, the ones who were following him, he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, this is a Passover meal. We saw that right in this context. He says, I wanted to have this meal with you. I wanted to have this time with you, this special time, which for us who are Gentiles, we have a hard time really connecting with the significance and the passion and the importance of a Passover meal. But just put it in that category. But he says, I want to bring you together. And as we think about this Passover lamb, I want you to know that I am the lamb. It's not that I have purchased a sacrifice or I offer a sacrifice. Here's what he says to you. Listen carefully. He says to you and I am the sacrifice. I am the one who gives my body for you. And that's part of why he gives us the elements of communion to remember, so that we would know that he became this sacrificial one for us. He didn't send a substitute. He didn't offer a plan. He came and gave himself. As we partake of the bread, that is the symbol. That's the reason he says, I want you to understand that this becomes the symbol of my body. Now, there's nothing magical about that piece of bread. There's nothing magical about the piece of bread he had in his hand. And there's nothing magical at all, but there is something so spiritually significant. He says, I want you to remember this. This is the picture. This is what I want you to focus on. This is what I want you to focus your thoughts on. This is the memory trigger, if you will. You know, we all have things in our lives that trigger our memories. For me, I have an aunt of mine who's been gone a long, long time. But in my childhood, whenever we were at her table, she would always have fresh baked, how she always had them, always at the ready, I don't know. But she always had fresh baked chocolate chip cookies. And even to this day, there are still moments if I put a chocolate chip cookie, and I even smell it or taste it, my mind runs back to that special aunt back when I was 5 or 6 years old, sitting at her kitchen table, enjoying a fresh baked chocolate chip cookie. That smell, that taste, that touch takes me back. It triggers me back to a very pleasant memory. He says, I want this bread to trigger you, to take you back to this significant memory that I became the Lamb of God for you. And also he says he did all to save you, not only by giving his body, but by his shed blood. Verse 20 says this, the words of the Lord Jesus. Let me read the whole verse and then the words of the Lord Jesus. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Not only did he give his body, but his blood was shed. There's something special about the blood, and you can track this through the Bible. I don't have time to get into all of that today, but all the way back into the early chapters of the Old Testament, it was a sacrifice. Remember, God covered Adam and Eve with the skins of a sacrificial animal. There, even he's showing that there had to be the payment for sin was death, and blood was shed. We are told in Hebrews 9:22 that says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Remission means the forgiveness, the wiping away of sins. The only thing that can take that away is the death that is produced by the shedding of blood. And Jesus did everything he had to do, everything that was necessary to save us. He did that by shedding his blood. And he says, I want you to remember that. I want you to be triggered back. I want your memory to be triggered by this. If you take this little drink of juice, this fruit of the vine coming from the grapes, and just like grapes are crushed to produce the juice, he says, my body was broken and my body was pierced and my blood was shed. And I want just to trigger your memory. There's nothing magical. Nothing changes about the juice. There's nothing. It's just juice. It's still juice before and during and after our consumption of it. But it says this to us. It paints this picture. And it's to remind us of that. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, where Paul teaches, it's a great teaching on the subject of communion. I've taught that other times when we've been gathered around the table. But he makes a statement. He says we do this, the breaking of the bread and the drinking from the cup. He says, we do this to show his death until he comes. We have a picture. Sometimes we've been separated from someone we love, and maybe we have a picture. I have some pictures of some of my family that stay in my office all the time. And I might be away from them for a short time or a longer time, but I have that picture. It brings me back. But you know what? When that person is with me, when I'm at home or I'm with them, that person that I love, I don't stare at the picture. I've got the person. Right now, all we have is the picture. He says, do this as you remember me. But remember this, dear friend. The day is coming, if you're one of his children, that you will no longer need the pictures, no need the memory aids. We'll no longer have to gather around the table like this for this reason, but we will be able to see him face to face. Now, let me just say this to you. If you're not one of his children, communion really is not for you. This is a family affair. But the great news is you can be part of his family if you'll put your faith in the Lord Jesus. If you'll realize that he died on the cross for you. If you will just come and say, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have messed up. And before a righteous, holy God, that leads me in a place where he should reject me. He should punish me. But because of his grace and his love and mercy, Jesus gave his body to be broken, gave his blood to be shed to pay sin's price. That verse that I read to you from Hebrews 9 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. But if you just flip that around in our thinking, with the shedding of blood, there is remission. Your sins can all be dealt with by trusting in the finished work, already done, work of the Lord Jesus. Also, the writer of Hebrews talks about how after the priests of the Old Testament, they always made sacrifices. They never stopped. The work never stopped, sacrifice after sacrifice. But it talks about the fact that Jesus, who offered this once-for-all sacrifice of himself, sat down and now is seated at the right hand of God. It is finished. It is over. He calls you to believe. If you'd like to talk to someone about what it means to be a follower of Christ and how you can know that your sins are forgiven and that you, with absolute assurity, are on your way to heaven, we'd love to have a conversation with you. If you would like to have a conversation with someone to consider what it means to be a follower of Christ, we want to invite you to visit a section of our website that we've established. It's just calvarywv.com/talk. And there we can connect you with the pastor. We'd love to have any questions that you have answered. We'd just love to share with you what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And trust me, friends, there's nothing better that you could experience in this life, and there's absolutely nothing better that you will experience all eternity than becoming one of God's children. He waits to hear from you. He wants to invite you, along with his other children, to come to the table. If we can help you in that, let us know. Well, lastly, He asks us to remember. And I just want to focus on this little phrase that you see in verse 19. He says this, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. I want to make this so that you will remember. We can get so distracted. We can get so far away from the simple reality that Jesus died to be our Savior. He says, I want you to remember. And he gave us this wonderful thing. It touches all of our senses. We have sight. We have hearing as we hear the Word of God. We see the elements. We touch them. We taste them. We smell them. It's very touchable. It's very up close and personal. And interestingly, he gave us a method to remember that is reproducible at any time, in any culture, any time period. Just very simple. Two very simple elements that always are easily available. And I hope they're available to you today. And that we would just remember. Just remember. We need to do this. We need to engage our hearts. Engage our minds. Now, it also tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:28, Paul, that same instructive passage, he says, as we come to the table, let a man examine himself. We need to look inside into our hearts and make sure that everything that is on the inside matches the outside reality. So he asks us to take a good look. We as believers need to use this as an opportunity to confess our sins, to turn away from them and turn back to him. So I want to encourage you to open your heart to examination. Engage your minds as you are partaking, as you're seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling today, that all those senses are going to pull you back to remember. And remember what? His body was given in sacrifice for you. His blood was shed to pay your sins. And then in your own way, in your own words from your own heart, express your love to him and your thanks that we have a Savior.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.